What is up, Atlanta? Happy Monday with Turtle. No issues with this one. Oh, we'll put up one giant finger, no half this time. I am with you for 1 hour. With you for a good time, not a long time. Taking you up until a pair of Monday night football games. Maybe the worst one we've ever seen coming up with 0-3 Jets and 0-3 Dolphins. Hey, something's got to give. Do the Dolphins save their coach's job? Do the Jets show that they made the right hire with Aaron Glenn? It's not like there's not intrigue. What's going on with Tyreek Hill? So I'm excited to watch. But just in terms of a competitive standpoint, woof. But we shall see. That one's coming at you. And then we got Cincinnati and Denver. Denver a little desperate to show that they're still the team that we thought they were last year. And that was not an anomaly. So looking forward to that one as well. But we got to talk about what happened yesterday. Tomorrow, we'll get back into something that really blew my mind yesterday during the Falcons flyover, and I'll explain what that is tomorrow. So be prepared to call in, because I got the full four tomorrow, and I got plenty of time to take your calls. But one of two things was going to happen today, and we were going to sit here on 92.9 The Game all day long from Hometown Take starting at 5 a.m. all the way through my show. Get you covered 24-7 with the best sports here on 92.9 The Game. One of two things we were going to be talking about. Situation one. The Falcons lose this game, fall to 1-3, heading into the bye week, and have 2 weeks, actually 15 days, because it's a weird situation where they're playing on Monday Night Football instead of on Sunday. So they get 15 days to sit on a loss and risk going 1-4, which essentially ends your season. An infinitesimally small amount of playoff teams have started 1-4 in NFL history. Single digits. So here's the thing. That didn't happen. Option two is what happened. The Falcons fought back. They put up a 34 spot. Michael Penix looked great. The offense was humming. Defense got the stops when they needed to. And again, are there always going to be things to complain about? Yes, it's the NFL. It's impossible to play a perfect game in the NFL. I don't care if you're the 16-0 New England Patriots or you're the Saints of this year who might not win a game. There is no such thing as a complete game in the NFL. The NFL is a league of corrections and adjustments, right? Corrections and adjustments. And the Falcons were able to, in 1 week, make enough big corrections and adjustments to earn themselves a hard-fought, well-earned victory to get themselves back to 500 and completely shift the narrative going into the bye week. Now, the question becomes, can they do the unthinkable and stop that high-powered machine that, in my opinion, is the best team in football because of the defensive issues the teams like the Ravens are having in the Buffalo Bills? I know the Chiefs looked like the old Chiefs yesterday, but that was a one-off. Let me see that consistently. The Bill Warren, you know the Bills are averaging 33.5 points a game on offense? It's unbelievable. But you know what the Falcons did yesterday? They scored 34. So it's not that they can't do it. So yesterday, I tweeted it out at my show prep tweet at C Thomas Radio. Give me a follow if you haven't already. We can chat up all things Georgia sports. I'll tell you why this win was so big. And this is why. Because, again, I've refused to use the term. I joked around it on my Saturday show with producer Eric Slaughter. We were saying we will not use the term must win because that's not fair to do to a team in week four with so many games ahead where they could rattle off a 7-game winning streak and then I'd have to eat serious crow. So we were not going to do that, and I'm still not going to do that, even after the fact, because it technically was not a must-win game. But what it was a desperation spot. It was a spot where the team, the coaches, the players, the fans, the media, everybody needed to rally around each other yesterday and prove that this team was not the team that went up to Carolina and got their doors blown off 30-0. I also tweeted this out yesterday, again, at C Thomas Radio, and it was retweeted by 92.9 The Game, so you can go find there as well, as we've been doing a cool feature where after the game we collect a bunch of tweets from our personalities and put them out on the 92.9 The Game account, sort of like a best of from the game. And I put, gave up 30 last week, scored 30 this week. The redemption song is on in full effect for the Falcons. And I truly believe that. That was a redemption song of a game. You were able to, listen, you're never going to silence the critics. That's just not going to happen. And again, tomorrow we're going to dive back into this because there was a lot of critics going on the flyover yesterday, and I was just a wee bit confused. But that's a conversation for tomorrow. Today, I just want to focus on the magnitude of what happened yesterday. Again, not a must win, but 2-2 going into the bye, facing Buffalo, putting up that performance on offense, is a complete narrative shifter as opposed to losing that game, especially if the offense struggled again. So that's where I'm at today. That's how I'm feeling today on a Falcons Monday. I love the effort. I love that the team was willing in a desperate moment, again, to make changes. Unfortunately, Ike Hilliard is no longer with the team, but if that's what you feel like is best for the organization, unfortunately, that's what you have to do. Football is a cutthroat business, and you have to be willing, ready, and able to meet the moment every single week. And if you can't, they're going to find somebody who can, because every single franchise is desperate to win a Super Bowl, and they're going to do exactly what they need to do and what they feel is in their best interest. So the combination of that plus moving Zach Robinson to the sideline was a resounding success. Michael Penix looked like a completely different quarterback, one of the best games he's played in his young career. The running game was outstanding. Oren, we were joking around all last week. Tyler Allgeier got how many carries in Carolina?
One.
Yeah, he got one. Got a lot more than that yesterday. And
16 times more.
And helped the offense run for 175 yards. Great stuff. Great stuff. Is there stuff to fix again? Yes, there is, y'all. Of course. No game is perfect, you know? But at the end of the day, the end result, when speaking about this one specifically, is just so much more important. I'm not worried about the little minutiae that, oh, by the way, they now have 2 weeks to go back into the lab and fix. I'm so much more concerned with the fact that they won the game when they absolutely had to, when their backs were against the wall, when coaches were on the hot seat, when players were on the hot seat starting jobs. Is Michael Penix Jr. the guy? Oren, you know what's funny? I did, late last week, I did a national hit for our buddies over at The Fan in Pittsburgh and FanDuel Network. And the first four questions I was asked were about the quarterback situation. And I had to politely inform our buddy Andrew Filipponi, who hosts the show, that the Falcons are not now nor ever going to make a quarterback change and have Kirk Cousins start again. But that's where this team was at after that game. That's where this team was at, that the national media and from afar, our buddies in Pittsburgh and our buddies with FanDuel, they were questioning if Penix was so bad that they would consider making a quarterback change 3 weeks into the season. So that's where we were. Now think about where we are. 2-2. Listen, I know they didn't have QB1 and RB1 and WR1. I get it. Merritt wasn't 100%. He did his best. McLaurin was out. Daniels was out. And they had a couple of one of their starting safeties was out as well. Doesn't matter, because the pressure and the situation and the backup against the wall for the Falcons overrides any explanation or giveaway as to take away one iota from this team in terms of their success on the field on Sunday. There was so much pressure on the Falcons to win that game. I don't care if it was against the Saints and Spencer Rattler. I don't care if it was against the Jets or the Giants, who all stink. Yeah, we'll talk about Jackson Dart tomorrow. That's great. One start. But the point is, the Atlanta Falcons did what they needed to do. They absolutely did what they needed to do. And for me, that overrides everything else, considering how important it was to get this win and put yourself in a position to win the game. What do you think? I'll take a couple calls. 404-726-0929. Do you agree? 404-726-0929. Again, we'll break down the specifics of this a lot more tomorrow when I have more time to dive into what happened on the Falcons flyover yesterday. But how do you feel? Because I feel great. I just want to know how you're feeling after the win. 404-726-0929. We'll hit some headlines as well with you till 7 o'clock. Chris Thomas tonight. We'll take a couple calls at 404-726-0929 on the Falcons. Again, we're going to dive deeper on the phones tomorrow because I want to really get a pulse of where this fan base is at right now. Because I did the Falcons flyover last night, Oren, as you know, as I do after each and every game, and I was at the Signia Hotel, which is, or if you've never been there, it is so gorgeous. We are lucky to do the show where we do it. We get scenic views of the Atlanta skyline. It's right across the street from the stadium. Great staff, great servers. So if you haven't been there, come on by after a home game, and I'll be there doing the flyover, and we can chat, have a brew, and have a really good time there at the Signia by Hilton where I do the Falcons flyover. But I was doing the flyover last night, and the amount of critiquing and I don't want to say negativity, but again, it's kind of like after the Vikings game, like the yeah, but mentality. And I get it, and I've talked with several Falcons insiders about it over the last couple of days. I was just really confused, and the ultimate consensus I got, and again, we'll chat about this tomorrow, is that, listen, when you don't make the playoffs for seven straight years, you know, one good bounce-back game does not course-correct 7 years of flaws and inconsistency. And I get that. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Real quick, before I get to your phone calls on just your general feelings about the win yesterday, though, Oren, something happened to me in the elevator when I was grabbing my lunch and making my way back up to my apartment to prep for the show. There was a dude who I think lives in the building. He wasn't a delivery cyclist. And a lot of people in my building, you know, I don't have a car, so I'm not going to crap on anybody for whatever mode of transportation they use. He had a bike. Okay, but Oren, this thing was not just a bike. This thing was like a complex motored bicycle machine with a thing on the back for like a grocery bag and a thing on the front for your iPhone and a headset jack. And this thing took up...
It was extreme.
I kid you not, Oren. This thing took up the entire length of the elevator. So he's standing in front of me. The elevator door opens. And this dude is taking... Now, this isn't going to sound like a lot, but in real time, it's an eternity. This dude took a good 30 to 45 seconds getting that bicycle into the elevator. So he clearly either just got it or has yet to figure out a good system of getting that bicycle into the elevator. Okay, whatever, annoying, we get over it, we move on with our day. Then, okay, I'm on the 10th floor, he was going to the 15th floor. Dude takes out a thing of like a cracker sandwich out of a paper bag and just starts chewing down on it.
In the elevator?
In the middle of the elevator. And because his bike...
He could wait like four floors to eat?
And here's the worst part of it, Oren. Because his damn bike was so big, we were right next to each other. He was literally chewing in my ear.
Oh, no.
What an awful performance by this individual. no etiquette whatsoever, just oblivious, couldn't wait 10 seconds to eat his damn cracker sandwich, which was chewing right in my ear. I mean, is that not a top five annoyance of all time? Somebody too close to you chewing with their mouth open in your ear? I mean, my goodness. It's that and it's nails on a chalkboard. I mean, for real. Come on now. 404-726-0929. Coleman, you're up first. Coleman, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Remember last time? I was like, we didn't really destroy Marcus Mariota, but he did okay, but we were just a better team, you know? And I just feel like things are clicking together. We're going into the bye. And people are like, oh, 30-0 last week. I was like, so what? It's the NFL. It's matchup basis, and it's the next game. Like, you know, we obviously knew we lost 30-0, but look what happened to them on Sunday. 41-6.
No, Coleman, you're 100% right, and I appreciate the call. But the one thing I would disagree with is 30-0 is not, or you don't just brush that off. Especially at Carolina when you were favored by 5.5 points on the road. So your last point, Coleman, I 100% agree. But your first call, I don't know if I can agree with that, my man. Because, again, the reason we reacted so strongly is because of the way that it happened. A loss is not a loss is not a loss. I think in this case, this week, a win is a win. But not a loss is a loss is a loss when it comes to that Carolina game. That was ugly. That was embarrassing. Raheem Morris said as much. And you got to look at a situation here where your team was able to rebound in perhaps the best way possible, putting up 34 points against a team that's widely considered to be a deep playoff threat and a deep playoff contender. So you got to just take it for what it was. It was an epic beatdown in Carolina that caused the alarm bells to ring, and rightfully so, Coleman. So I agree with your second point 100%, but I don't think it's fair to say we can just brush over what happened in Carolina. I'm over it now, but just to say that when it happened, you could brush over it, I don't think is the right way to think about it. Neil's up next. Neil.
Hi, guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to make a couple of comments. The first about the NFL overtime rule needs to be changed where there can be no ties. It's ridiculous that people pay for tickets and spend hours watching the game on TV and then it ends up in a tie. No other sport really does that, maybe soccer. But I think they could easily change that. And why did they shorten the overtime to 10 minutes? That's ridiculous. They should have made it unlimited overtime. Instead, they cut it from 15 minutes to 10 minutes.
Neil, it's all about, in their mind and their opinion and what they say publicly, injury prevention. You just played a 60-minute game, you're exhausted, and the rate for injury, if you play another full quarter, goes up that much more.
Yeah, well, they're making millions a year. That's why they make the big money. And the other thing is, you know, Alabama's won 10 out of 11 against Georgia. And, yeah, the one that Georgia won – if Jameson Williams and Mechie were in the lineup, it would have been different for sure. No matter who Georgia had hurt, they didn't have that caliber stars that were out.
Okay.
The other thing is, I'm the why do you hate Bama so much guy from Tuscaloosa. And
I don't hate Bama. I don't.
Duke does.
Yeah, but am I Duke? Last time I checked, I wasn't Duke's.
No. It's cool.
But what's your point? But what's your point about? But yes, they've owned Georgia. But what's the point?
I'm just saying you guys don't give them any respect. You know, they had a dynasty going, and maybe they sort of rekindled that dynasty on Saturday. I hope they did. But
well, that's a little bit. But I appreciate the phone call, Neil. Come on, man. Kirby won back-to-back natties more recently. That's what we're talking. I mean, Neil.
They still lost to Vanderbilt last year. They still lost to Oklahoma last year. They lost to FSU this year.
Come on, Neil. Kirby's the best coach in college football right now. Kalen DeBoer, there's been calls for him to get fired 3 separate times, and he's had the job for a year and a half. Come on, man. Neil, what are we talking about, my guy? I mean, listen, you can wear your Tuscaloosa pride on your chest, but I just need you to be realistic about it. I mean, I don't care if you think Alabama's better than Georgia. They've proved it. But when you look at the state of the programs overall, in terms of national relevance and where they are right now, Georgia's the gold standard. Y'all, Oren, it's like a Patriots fan. Like, oh, a 15-year run wasn't good enough for you? Like, that, Neil, that's how it comes off. Oh, you were the gold standard in the sport for the better part of two decades, won more titles than you know what to do with. And now, because you're going through a little bit of a rebuild, you know, you have to defend the honor of Alabama to the hilt? Come on, man. No, you don't. We all know what a program Alabama is. What, like, you don't need to do all that. That's, you know what they say that is, Oren? Doing too much. 404-726-0929. When we get back, we'll hear from Raheem Morris after the game. We'll also make our two picks for both games tonight on Monday Night Football. These won't count towards our record on Thursday night. Your boy may have taken the lead. No, that's not true. Because we picked all the same.
So we picked everything, yes.
I was like,
how did that happen?
I was like, wait, I went 4-0. Oh, wait, so did Oren. All right, so we are tied going into that one. I was just, you know what that was, Oren? I was being selfish. I was just thinking about
preemptive excitement.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking about my 4-0 that week, not your 4-0. But we'll pick tonight's games as well. We'll do that to wrap up the show. Chris Thomas tonight with you till the top of the hour. Last chance for romance here on a Bridge show. Chris Thomas Turtle with you on Chris Thomas tonight till the top of the hour. Monday Night Football comes your way then. We got a double header tonight. We got Miami and the Jets, and we got the Bengals, the Joe Burrow-less Bengals, and the Denver Broncos. We'll make our picks for that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, our last caller, Neil, that was interesting to me, man. Listen, you always, I never say don't call in if you're a fan.
You got to love an insecure basketball, insecure football fan.
Yeah,
I'm
man,
sorry.
I don't care what team you're a fan of. Call in and try to defend your squad. That's what we do here. But, you know, to say that, like, Alabama is being unjustly ridiculed because Georgia won a couple of natties since, you know, the reign of Nick Saban came to an end, I mean, please. Can we have an honest discussion about the state of college football right now? I mean, listen, if you're a Bama fan, it is what it is. You're rebuilding, not in terms of the talent on the roster, but in terms of the identity, the culture. You know, when a guy like Nick Saban leaves, it's a huge deal. It's a program changer. Like, Kalen DeBoer's got to come in there and make that his Alabama. It's not yet. They're working through the kinks still. And they got Georgia's number. There's no doubt about that. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. It just doesn't make sense. It just, Georgia's a better football team right now than Alabama, but it did not prove that way on the field on Saturday. And it continues to be the biggest bugaboo. For as great as Kirby Smart has been, he cannot on a bet beat Alabama. What is it, 1-7? I think it's 1-7. Which is amazing. It's almost unfathomable. It's like James Franklin's record against top 10 teams, 4-21. We'll get into that tomorrow as well. All right, before we make our picks, though, let's hear from Raheem Morris. He talked about Penix's performance and bouncing back in a big way.
Rightfully deserved, and we embrace that, and so did he. He went back to work. He went back to the lab, and all he could do was come out and play. And he came out today, and he gave us a lot of good numbers. He gave us a lot of really positive things moving forward, and he's going to do nothing but get better.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we were worried about, after the Carolina game, like, is this offense broken because of how bad it looked? Is Michael Penix Jr. and his footwork and his mechanics and his inability to maintain a consistent arm angle, is all that stuff, you know, broken? And you saw that with Zach Robinson moving to the field, it was not. And that is something that Raheem Morris addressed after the game as well.
It just feels good. You know, Zach brings a certain amount of energy to this football team. He brings a certain amount of energy to our offense. I mean, he just brings a certain amount of energy from the guy. You know, when I was happy to see him down there, I was happy to see us have success, be able to move the football, to bring his juice, get those guys closer together. That's something that we're going to move forward doing.
Yeah. What do you think, they're going to put him back up in the booth after that, Coach? Of course not. That was amazing. 34 points. You know, that's something I think if you put truth serum in a lot of us going into the game, we didn't really see coming. And Michael Penix Jr. talked about that transition as well.
Yeah, it was good, you know, for him to be able to talk to me right there in front of me, you know, just showing me. I'm looking at the looks on the iPad and, you know, he's going through play calls and stuff like that. You know, it was good to have. And I feel like it definitely it was something that helped us today.
And I think that if they can maintain, you know, even 75-80% of that clip against Buffalo, you have a real chance. And if you lost that game, I would not be saying that. All right, Oren, we got not one but two games to pick tonight. What is the saying? What is the cliche when a immovable object meets an impenetrable force?
Something along those lines,
that's,
yes.
That's what the Dolphins
something
are right
has
now.
To give.
Yeah.
Or it could end in a tie like last night, but let's not wish that on anybody.
I don't. I mean, do we even care?
That's also true.
That's what it comes down to. Miami had a chance to be nationally relevant this year.
A chance.
They had a chance. You know, they still had the sexy offensive pieces. Devon Achan is helping me out in my fantasy league, that's for sure. But in terms of Tyreek Hill and Waddle and Tua and Mike McDaniel, it all just we used the word broken before. They look broken. And their defense is not going to, you know, be overly impressive. So it's all got to be on the offense. In terms of the New York Jets, they're looking – do you know that the last four coaches for the New York Jets have all started 0-3? How sad is that? It's just sad, man. All y'all know by now, I grew up in New York. I grew up a Jets fan. And, you know, this was not a season for expectations for that team. But 0-4, just like again, here we go. Justin Fields doesn't look like the franchise quarterback. They paid him a 2-year contract. Tyrod Taylor's the backup. He's not the future either. So unlike the Giants, you know, the Jets don't even have – I mean, what do we have to root for? I hate to put it that bleakly as somebody who grew up rooting for the team, but it's just a whole lot of nothingness going on. It's all to preserve that – you think that you made the right choice with Aaron Glenn as your head coach and that he's going to be the guy that can finally break the playoff drought, much like the Falcons are going for. We know the Jets have a decent defense. Miami's supposed to have a really good offense, but it has not been.
Neither one of those. Well, the defense for the Jets have been it's been okay, but that's not saying a whole lot. So,
well, they certainly gave up a lot of points to the Buccaneers.
They did do that, yes.
And that was last week. And they had that awesome, the now viral dance of Aaron Glenn going down the sideline.
Very happy before the game was over.
Premature celebration on the coach. Because then Baker Mayfield did what he does and just drove back down the field. He almost did it again versus the Eagles. Came up just short. This is both teams. This is an obvious statement, but need this win. Miami, Oren, is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at the Jets. Where are you leaning with this one?
Like you said, do I have to pick one?
Yeah.
Excuse me,
the game is at Miami. Miami's a 2.5-point favorite at home.
The last time we saw Miami, it was them playing out their hardest for a coach who – it's not going to last very long here, so I don't know how many more times they can pull that out the hat. The return of Justin is kind of big tonight. I mean, he proved himself not a week, but there's competent moments right now that Justin is showing at that quarterback spot. So give me the Jets. They run the football well. Let's just say that. That'll be the determining factor. Brees and Justin will have good games on the ground, and that'll be enough to get it done.
I'm going to pick the Jets as well. I think they've just been more consistently competitive. They've only had one really. They've had two pretty good games and one bad game. And I think the Dolphins have had three bad games. So if my math is math in Oren, I'm going to take the Jets to win this one by a field goal on the road to go to 1-3. And the Dolphins go to 0-4. And that might be all she wrote for Mike McDaniel, if that does happen. One more to pick. Cincinnati's going to Denver. Denver's a big favorite in this one. -7.5. So Vegas thinks they're going to win by more than a touchdown. Jake Browning and company did not look good last week when the teams actually got some chance to get a film look on them. Denver is interesting because is Denver the team at 1-2 that we saw last year, or are they a false idol that a lot of people thought going into the year? Like Bo Nix having the type of season that he had last year with Sean Payton, a lot of people were like, whoa, where did that one come from? And now that they've started 1-2, again, we'll use the word desperation. You can't go 1-3 in the NFL and expect to make the playoffs. It's so unlikely. So a big game against a winnable team, or a beatable team rather, in Cincinnati without their starting quarterback. And I think that's why Denver is such a big favorite. I think the pick for this one, Oren, is easy. It's just a matter if you think the point spread is too high. What do you think?
Again, do we have to? No.
Some real consternation with this Monday night doubleheader here.
I don't dislike Jake Browning as a backup quarterback, and he's proving capable. It's just that offensive line is so horrible right now, and they have not been able to get anything going in the run game. Cincinnati has the last couple of weeks, and they have a decent guy back there too in Chase Brown, and
he's been disappointing though.
He has been.
So for record,
give me Cincinnati in this.
Ooh,
I don't think
to cover the 7.5.
I think Cincinnati will find a way to cover the 7.5. That's a big home number for a team, like you said. That's 1-2. Desperation aside from Denver, what does Denver do right now that you kind of go like, oh yeah, they're really good at that? I don't know what Denver does right now. I mean,
well, their defense is
solid, but it's just, I haven't seen Denver have a complete football game yet. So
no, that's true.
Yeah.
For record, Browning is 40 for 59, 3 touchdowns, 5 picks. Bo Nix, 61 of 95, 5 touchdowns and 3 picks. So kind of mirror stats of each other. I'm going to take the Broncos in this one. I think they're going to win big. I just don't trust Jake Browning, like, on a week-in, week-out basis. Again, he's one of those backup quarterbacks that's really good for a short stint, but the more you see of him, the less you like, because he's a backup quarterback for a reason. And I think Bo Nix needs to come out and have a strong effort tonight to get a lot of people back on the Bo Nix hype train. I'm not saying, again, it's way too early in the season to make any long-term prognostications, but one of the big question marks coming into the season for not only the Broncos, but I think the entire NFL, was the shocking, awesomely, just really throwing people for a loop type of season that Bo Nix had last year in Denver. Because I think most of us thought he's your prototypical high stat, big game college quarterback that just doesn't translate to the NFL that we've seen dozens and dozens of times before. So when it comes to Bo Nix and his development, a big game tonight, I think, would, much like what the Falcons did in being able to right the ship, a big game for him tonight would go a long way in putting him back in the good graces of the NFL. They also have J.K. Dobbins, who's got 3 touchdowns running the ball this year. So
J.K.'s having a bit, I don't want to call it a resurgence, but J.K.'s one of those guys, if he could just stay healthy.
Well, that's it. No one questions his talent. He's like Jonathan Taylor. No one questions their talent.
Stay healthy.
But you just got to stay healthy. All right, so we're both taking the Jets in the Miami game, and I am taking the Broncos. Oren is taking the Bengals. On Thursday, we'll make our official picks for the weekend after both of us picked the same 4 teams last week. I don't think that'll happen again. 404-726-0929. Appreciate everybody who called in. Tomorrow, got the full 4 with you, so going to dive much deeper into the phones with you about just how you're feeling about this loss. Is it something, or about the win rather, is it something that you're looking at it and saying, I feel amazing that this team was able to respond like that? Or do you still have some questions about the long-term viability of this Falcons season as they sit 2-2 heading into their bye week with Buffalo coming to town in a couple of weeks. Again, the number is always 404-726-0929. If you ever have a thought, you can also reach me on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. Enjoy the football. Doubleheader on Monday night tonight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app.